Victory or death!
Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Free Virginia. I'm your host, Hank Reardon, the voice of freedom behind enemy lines here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, bringing you the Patriots, the information you need to stay in the fight to preserve your liberty. This is episode 24-5, the fifth episode of 2024. I'm going to talk about government out of control. I'll touch on some Virginia topics here and there, but I'm going to share with some clips that I've found over the week from various people that talk about this idea that government is completely out of control. They've lost their minds, and they just think they can spend money and do whatever the heck they want, and nobody trusts them. I'll talk about the military not meeting its recruitment goals because nobody trusts them. People like me who have been a supporter of the military for a long time and supporter of those who serve, I still am. However, I tell my kids, you shouldn't join the military. You can't trust what this idiot dementia patient might do with you or this DEI garbage and everything. I've got a friend who's dealing with not being woke enough for the military and them wanting to find ways to kick him out. And it's ridiculous. And it's time that people understand that. And we have I'll talk about this when I talk about the army is the smallest it's been since World War II. You know, if something happens, what do you think they're going to do to ramp things up? It takes 6 to 8 weeks to even get a guy through basic training, let alone all the other training that's required to get him or her prepared to fight. So let's see what Candace Owens has to say about the topic of government accountability. I really like this idea.
Log into my bank account and see every dollar I spent. Why can't the American taxpayer log into a government bank account and see every single dollar that they spent? Ooh. That would completely change the way so many people voted. It completely change their perspectives about all of these policies when you see how easy our government is just able to money launder. This is what we're talking about. Yep. We talk about this never-ending war hawks who keep wanting to go to war because there's no accountability. They just say, we're doing war in Ukraine. We're doing war in Afghanistan. We're doing war in Syria. So you have to go, billions of dollars have been taken away. It's out of your pocket. The American people, you need to understand this is just a money laundering operation. I mean, 10 years of a war in Afghanistan for us to leave? We couldn't even take back the billions of dollars worth of weapons and we just left them on the soil for the Taliban to take over. I mean, every single American should be outraged, and that's why I say that we have to remain focused and understand the enemies for us, for the American people, are not in Ukraine or Russia. They are right sitting down in Congress on Capitol Hill. Those are the enemies of the American people.
So I love the idea that you could just log in and look at that information. I don't know how many Americans would actually do it. It'd be people like us that would do it. But, I don't know how many would do it. Most people are content, be happy and dumb and not understand what's going on. Taylor Swift, I'm not kidding when I say I'm convinced she's a genius. However, she's completely ignorant. She's the smartest dumb person I know. Completely ignorant about the world that we live in. She lives in this cloistered little world with her private jets and her fancy, million dollar houses and private security. And she doesn't understand what it's like to be a person on the ground. And so she'll make these statements and say things and support things like Joe Biden. It's ridiculous. But that's the average American, actually. If she ran, Chase and I, my son, we were talking about this and we're like, well, if she ran for president, and I was like, I think she'd win. Honestly, I think she would. Americans are so stupid. They wouldn't pay attention. She would have to actually learn some things. So that would be interesting to see what would happen. But I don't want somebody like her with her hand on the nuclear trigger, because sometimes you got to nuke a fool. I mean, and I don't know that I want somebody like that that's completely ignorant about the world that we live in. And you're going to have to make split-second decisions. Obviously, the guy in the White House right now can't make split-second decisions. I mean, come on. Give me a break here. He's not making any split-second decisions because he's not really there. So, I mean, government accountability, if you want to find out, you know, what are they spending on X, Y, and Z, you have to dig, or you just have to, like, trust that the articles you're reading are accurate, or the conservative sources or whatever source you're reading is accurate. And that's not even going to be a complete picture. They're adding something like $1 trillion every 30 days or something insane to the national debt. And inflation has just went up again. They're just like, oh no, it's starting to go up. Well, that's what happens when you spend money. When you spend government money, when government spends money it doesn't have, we have inflation. That's they, when they print money and they devalue the value of money, the value of currency, then inflation goes up and interest rates go up and the housing market takes a hit and all these things happen. You know, the price of lumber is still just through the roof. I would argue that some of that's manipulated by the lumber industry. You can see whole, not warehouses, storage yards full of lumber. And they trickle it out onto the market to keep it, keep that price high. That's what I see is happening. I don't know if that's accurate, but when you see, you know, 100 or more acres full of plywood and 2x4s, and it's not moving, it's not getting put on trains, it's just sitting there, what are we to conclude? Same is actually true, might be true, of ammo. They're only making enough to keep the supply at parity right now so that they're not shipping, you know, an extra amount into the market. So I was looking at this the other day. You can get 223. It's about 50 cents a round. Well, it used to be 32 cents a round. And longer before that, it was like 20 cents a round. I mean, so inflation directly impacts that. But then the market does too when you have only, what, four companies making ammunition. And when one of them is Alliant Technology, which is the largest, sorry, not Alliant, ATK. Anyway, they're making the majority of the ammo and they can just cut supply and, you know, 10% and create a shortage. And therefore the price stays higher. The price goes up. So let's take a look at this clip from a conservative immigrant on YouTube. This is about illegal immigration. But again, it goes to the distrust of government because this is the stuff that we've been hearing for many, many years from the left on immigration, and yet now they're saying different things.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
I thought using these talking points was racist. I thought using these talking points was rooting in white supremacist. And that's why everybody should vote Democrat, because Democrats are not, they are not racist and they are not white supremacist. Bill Clinton, ladies and gentlemen, just a few years back. So I guess when Democrats, oh, and Barack Obama usually, Barack Obama spoke similar topics and similar talking points. So I guess as long as Democrats are talking about securing the border, they are doing a service to the community. But when Republicans are talking about securing the border, actually we are being racist and white supremacists. Got it.
So we don't trust the government, obviously. but we don't trust what they're saying either. And we don't trust what the media is saying. And so this goes to government that's out of control again. Government's out of control. We've had Bill Clinton said this. George Bush said this. We've had Barack Obama said this. Now we have Joe Biden. Actually, Joe Biden hasn't said anything about this. In fact, he's done the opposite. And he's just blaming Trump for the illegal immigration problem. Makes me wonder if Dan Bongino's not right that the Democrats, or rather Barack Obama, is really controlling the White House right now, because just phoning it in. And his argument is that if you look at who is in positions of leadership over there, it's a bunch of Obama people. So, you know, like me, if I was in, if let's say Donald Trump said, hey, I want you to be in charge of this. Okay. You don't, you know, from the background, Donald Trump doesn't need to call me every day and tell me what to do. I know what to do. I'm a conservative. Oh, we're going to fix this thing. But same is true of what's going on in the White House. Now, it's completely illegal to do that. But hey, you know, that's what's being done. But this illegal immigration thing. Did you hear what Bill Clinton said there? It's like when illegal aliens commit crimes, they need to be deported. He didn't say illegal aliens need to be deported. And that's the little sneaky things that they do. It was under Donald Trump that we've had the most secure border we've ever had, the most shutdown, most lockdown. It was great. People were getting deported that should have been. Criminals were staying in their countries. There was a remain in Mexico policy. Joe Biden, when he got in, his out-of-control administration, the first thing he did was pull back and rescind all of the Trump-era immigration policies, every single one. And then he hamstrung the Border Patrol from actually doing their job. It didn't let them enforce the actual law. And then he says, oh, well, we need more laws. No, you don't. You need to enforce the laws you've got, you dementia-riddled, dementia patient, rotting brain, oatmeal brain, piece of garbage. So that's nonsense. Complete nonsense. Hey, government is thinking about getting a raise. Here's Nick Freitas talking about that.
Seen those lists of really dumb studies that the government funds? Things like spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to ask important questions like, hey, are pigeons more promiscuous when doing coke? Because I know I was wondering. Well, today in Virginia, we voted on a budget amendment where we were going to fund a study to ask the all-so-important question, are we paid enough? That's right. Politicians were going to fund a study in order to determine whether or not politicians should get a pay raise. You know what? I'm going to do a study right now just for free. And this study is one where I've concluded that government-funded studies tend to conclude exactly what the people funding the studies wanted them to conclude. Yeah, I'm a no.
Yeah, they want to have a, and when he says voted, he probably means they passed this. So at the Virginia level, we've got government out of control and they want more money. They want more money to pass more dumb laws that we don't want them to pass, that restrict more of our freedoms, that increase more of our taxes. When was the last time you got a Virginia state tax refund? I don't remember when. I've had to pay. I've never gotten any of the money back I've paid. In fact, I've had to pay every year for the past 6-7 years. I can't remember ever getting a tax cut. And then on top of that, I got sales taxes. I got vehicle taxes. I've got taxes on things that I already were taxed and now being taxed again and all this other stuff. So give me a break. Oh, and then, you know, you hear this is government, local government out of control. You have, they want to actually make decisions to close down schools that are only at 50% capacity. Makes total sense, right? Well, the parents pitch a fit and then they're like, well, maybe we need to rethink this. Well, they don't rethink it when the parents pitch a fit when they want little boys to go in the girls' bathroom and then little girls get raped and assaulted in the bathroom. Nobody seems to care what the parents think then. Nobody seems to care what the parents think when they don't want there to be pornography in the school library for, little fifth and sixth graders to get access to, or even, frankly, you know, anyone under 18. I don't care. When you're not an adult, you don't get to make those choices. Parents do. Well, apparently not. Only when they're going to close the school and make it hard that little Susie's going to have to ride a different bus to a different school and all her friends and boo-hoo. Wah. It's for the children, don't you know? It's for the children. I'm tired of it. I'm so tired of it. You know how I think about it. Just burn all the schools down. I don't care. Just destroy all of them. Delete them completely. Make parents educate their own kids and figure it out. Because clearly the government sucks at it. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of the state government coming to me and saying, I want more money. And now the politicians apparently.
We're going to have a study to see if we're not paid enough.
You're a part-time legislature. You're not in there to make money. And every single one of you is probably doing better off by being a politician because of the connections you now have. So, yeah. Here's a clip about government at the federal level. And they are, they spend money for Ukraine. Let's see.
Good Lord, when it comes to funding the machinery of war, we have money. We have money. We have money that we couldn't possibly dream of. We can run the presses indefinitely if it's going to go overseas. If we're going to be paying foreign governments, why, we've got enough money, apparently, to send $8 billion direct to the treasury of Ukraine. My goodness, we have enough money to make hundreds of millions of dollars of our taxpayer funds available to the private sector in Ukraine. We are now literally funding their businesses, their banks, Lord knows what. We've got money without end. We've got enough money to pay for bureaucrat salaries. We've got enough money to pay for Ukrainian government officials' pensions. We've got enough money for so-called humanitarian aid that gets funneled away from, siphoned off into any manner of corrupt uses. We won't know because we don't have a special inspector general to oversee this money, but that's a different story. Oh, no, we've got plenty of money. Good Lord.
So it's great. It's great. Money. We've got money. We've got money. That was Senator Hawley. So that's we've got money if we want to send it to Ukraine. We don't have any money to enforce the border. Nope, that's just unenforceable. We don't have money to send. No, shouldn't. We shouldn't send to the sanctuary cities that are overwhelmed with the illegal immigrants that Joe Biden has let in this country. And I'm fine with that, actually. You know, these sanctuary places that become a magnet for these people that want to come here, let them suffer. Let New York suffer. Somebody in the family had said, hey, you know, we could go to New York. And I just laughed. I'm like, you mean hang out with the illegal aliens? Because that's pretty much all that's there right now. I don't know. Give me a break. Forget that. So let's talk about how the army is the smallest it's been since World War II. This is from Newsweek. The size of the U.S. Army is reportedly the smallest since World War II as the service continues to struggle to recruit new soldiers. Army officials announced on Tuesday that the service had recruited almost 55,000 recruits in the 2023 fiscal year, which ended Saturday, falling short of the publicly stated goal of 65,000. The number of new recruits allow the service to meet its required total strength of 452,000 active duty soldiers. But the independent news group Military Times says that this is the smallest the Army has been since 1940. There were just over 269 soldiers in 1940, but that number ballooned up to 1.5 million in 1941. So I don't know if that's actually an accurate statement. You know, the military doesn't need to be the size it was in World War II. We were fighting a world war, and we needed a big military. This number here, 452,000 active duty soldiers, that's a lot of soldiers. But not when you got to understand that that number is not a trigger pullers. This is cooks and drivers and mechanics and, you know, technicians and IT people. And, you know, that's a long list of things. So, you know, but it does take time to bring in a soldier and train him. Now, I heard another article though, somebody was talking about on the radio where they're actually making cuts to the number that they need. They're actually, you know, transitioning people into other positions and shrinking things down. And my theory on that, if that is happening, which I'm pretty sure it is that they are trying to make it so that you are when you look at the numbers, they can say, we're meeting our goals. Here's what this is what we want the military to be at, and this is the size that it is. Here, abracadabra. So it's like somebody says, well, we're supposed to have sold $2 million, but we're going to change that goal to $1 million because that's what we sold, and we met our goals. We met our sales goals. We sold $1 million. That's what we intended to sell. Yeah, but earlier you wanted to sell $2 million. No. That's never mind that. This is our goals. And so that's what I think is going on. And I'm not so sure that this World War II size of military really matters. I mean, 452,000, that's a lot of people. You know, it does take time to train new soldiers. And here's the thing. People aren't joining the military because they don't trust the government. So I for years would consider before Bumbles that there are roles in the military that I think my son would enjoy. And I think that there's things I would enjoy. I'm 50 years old, but so there's stuff that's attractive there all across all different services. However, not with who's in charge now. I mean, they can't make decisions about anything. It's terrible leadership, and I wouldn't want my kid anywhere near that. And there's a lot of people, I was not former military, but there's a lot of people that were former military telling their kids, don't even think about it. This is a terrible idea. So that's why they're having trouble meeting their goals. They have another factor is that the military, the man you want to attract, let's say the man, I know women can join the military, but the man you want to attract the military, hand him a gun and tell him go kill people. That man doesn't want to join because you've got all this woke bullcrap, this DEI stuff that's in the military where people are, you have to say my pronouns are he, him, and all this other stupid garbage. And, I'm a dog. I'm going to be a dog. Here's me, major dog soldier. I mean, it's stupid junk like that. And the man who you want to hand a gun to be a killer, he doesn't want to join that. Are you kidding? So... yeah, that's, I don't know. I mean, I wonder right now, the military is probably having a real problem making sure stuff doesn't get stolen. I wonder if that's a problem. Let's talk about the Virginia gun issue. But before we do, let me talk about the show's sponsor today, which is Adam Hopkins. Hopkins Real Estate, located in Forest, Virginia, is your go-to place for residential, commercial land. And Central Virginia, especially the Campbell, Bedford, Amherst, Lynchburg, even all the way out into Nelson, Roanoke. This whole area here is a gorgeous area that if you're thinking of moving here, you should get in touch with Adam Hopkins and his team at adamhopkins.net. And they'll take good care of you. Got a great team of people, whatever you're looking for, that can do really well by you and your family. And great team, really, really good. And it is a good time to buy. I would say right now, I know interest rates suck. They do. But they could get worse because inflation doesn't seem to be getting under control. As well, one of the things you're not running into is bidding wars, which is nice. You know, you might have a counter offer. You might have somebody coming in and saying, maybe have two people put in an offer at the same time, but you're not going to have 10. And that's the way it was. I mean, you're having 10 with these full on bidding wars where the price would go up 30, 40,000, 50,000, 100,000. Now you don't have to deal with that. It's nice. You had to you were having offers where people were just like waiving the inspection and waiving all this stuff. And we did that when we bought our house, and I'm pretty good at seeing things. So I just did the inspection as we did the walkthrough. There were a few things I missed, but nothing major. So let's talk about this article. This is from the Virginia Mercury. And it's commentary by a lady named Lori Haas. For some reason, this name is familiar. This is from February 8th, 2024. A safer Virginia capital and a stronger democracy. Progress that needs protection. I've been advocating at the Virginia General Assembly since the Virginia Tech mass shootings in 2007. Now, more than 15 years later, it is a pleasure to enjoy the modern facilities and amenities of Virginia's new legislative office building, commonly known as the GAB, General Assembly Building. As I walk across the Capitol grounds and step into the new facility amongst the larger committee rooms, upscale cafeteria, new technology, I can't help but reflect on something that's missing. Capitol Square is free of firearms. In the past, many Virginians avoided the GAB and Capitol grounds altogether to avoid interaction with people carrying guns, either openly or concealed. I have had many people tell me that the former lack of regulations made them feel unsafe and unwelcome to exercise their First Amendment rights, regardless of what issue they may be at the Capitol to support or oppose. Yeah. Okay. Robust public participation in the lawmaking process is necessary for a healthy democracy where all voices are heard. Firearms chill free speech and debate at the crux of that process. Before our legislators make decisions that can alter Virginia's lives, they need and expect public debate. Yeah, except that they don't listen to us. They just do whatever they want. this is funny. They've got a image here of a gun, and it's not even accurate. It's the trigger housing on what looks like maybe a Luger or a Makarov or something, and the bullets, they're like blank rounds. Oh boy, stupid. I've witnessed firsthand the dangerous consequences of guns in political spaces. In 2020, then-Governor Ralph Northam declared a state of emergency after armed militia groups from across the country threatened to prevent the state from passing its first significant gun legislation in decades. Yeah, we did, and yeah, it worked. We had seen the deadly result from some of these same groups gathering in Charlottesville in 2017, and thankfully, the governor took the 2020 threat seriously. I'm pretty sure in Charlottesville, guns weren't involved. It was a guy driving a car and ran some people over. I don't think guns were involved. These displays in Charlottesville and Richmond were designed to dampen political speech and intimidate the opposition. Well, they should be intimidated. Anybody who wants to take your rights should be intimidated. They should. Frankly, they should intimidate me. If I want to take the free speech rights of this idiot right here from saying stupid things, then I should be intimidated. And if people want to take your rights, your liberty, they should be intimidated. These displays in Charlottesville and Richmond were designed to dampen political speech and intimidate the opposition, but the intended intimidation didn't stop there. I've testified for strong gun legislation in committee hearings where people in the room are openly armed, including legislators themselves. No. This was not conducive to a free and open democratic process. So, okay. So you're going to provide for our security at every... Do I get to have a cop follow me around and be my private security? No? Thankfully, Virginia lawmakers took action to defend democracy despite personal threats in 2020. They didn't. Legislators outlawed firearms on the Capitol grounds and inside the building, as well as in the state office buildings. In 2021, a gun ban was enacted near polling places. Well, you know what, though? I don't know how accurate, how meaningful that is, because the gun-free zones that they have polling places in, such as schools, already have a gun ban. So almost the majority of polling places are in schools. So I don't know how impactful that was. This allowed the democratic process to work as intended. Today, all Virginians can cast their vote without leers of an armed, self-proclaimed poll watcher. That's more important this year than ever. I'm sorry. No one is not going to vote because there's a guy with a gun. This isn't Jim Crow. This isn't the 60s or the 50s or the 40s. I mean, give me a break. These crucial measures not only protect the safety of citizens engaging in their civic duty, but also preserve the sanctity of our democratic institutions, ensuring that political discourse could thrive without the looming threat of armed intimidation or violence. The problem beyond Capitol Square, a poll from the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU Law. Oh, that's what we need. We need a poll from the New York folks. That's what we care what they think. Found 1 in 6 election officials say they have been threatened for their work. Yeah, Mm-hmm. More than half were concerned about the safety of election workers, and 30% knew of one or more election workers who left their position because of fear of their safety. How about you do your job? How about you not stack and, you know, stuff the ballot boxes? How about you actually count the votes as they were meant to be counted? How about you not commit fraud? How about that? Then you don't need to be threatened, because that's what people are threatening. And not because people are not walking around with guns going, you better make sure my boy wins. That's not what's happening. People intimately involved with the political process believe those concerns are valid. UMass Amherst researchers, Massachusetts researchers, found 84% of 300 former members of Congress who were polled were concerned about election-related violence in 2024. Well, Virginia's policy changes foster an environment where citizens can engage with their elected representatives without fear of intimidation, and our elected officials don't have to interact with armed citizens. Well, here, how about me? I refuse to go up there, and not I can't engage in the political process because I'm afraid. So therefore, if fear is the measure by which laws must be changed to protect those who want to engage in the process, then you need to change it so that I can carry a gun there, because I fear for my life when I'm walking around Richmond and it's not safe, and I feel safer if I can go up into the Capitol where I can lobby my representatives with my gun. And those representatives also then have the freedom to carry. That sounds reasonable, right? Virginia's journey toward a safer, more open political process has been a testament to the positive effects of keeping guns away from spaces integral to our democracy. Today, the Commonwealth is advancing policies that keep all Virginians safe, including bills that ban assault weapons, improve the state's extreme risk protective order, that's red flag laws, and protect children by requiring safe storage of firearms. Keep your kids, keep your guns completely away from your kids that live out in the rural areas, who then can use them to defend themselves against, say, bears or, you know, two-legged predators or whatever. No. Got to keep that gun away from those kids. This year, let's build up the momentum we've seen since 2020. I know that changes to firearm policy are contentious, and gun control progress must be protected. We should stand firm in our commitment to preserving the progress we've made and ensure that the political process remains a platform of free expression rather than a stage for intimidation. Well, I feel intimidated by not being able to carry my gun up there. So now I'm intimidated and I'm afraid. And those are the two benchmarks by which laws must be changed to protect my involvement in the political process. Therefore, we need to change the laws, right? Let the improvements we've achieved at Capitol Square serve as an inspiration for a safer future in Virginia for all. Well, well, well. Hey, Lori, when the illegal aliens that you and your communist friends support, when they start kicking down your door, who are you going to call? Somebody with a gun. And he's probably not going to get there in time, so you're going to be dead. So how's that for intimidation and your inability now to engage in the political process, because you're dead, because you and the policies that you and your friends, your communist friends, put forward, they're the reason you're dead. So congratulations. It's not because of some law-abiding citizen like myself that was just, walking along one day and I saw you and I went, oh, look, that's that lady that wrote that article I don't like. Bang, bang. You know, that's not why. It's because of policies you put in place that make us less safe. Because more guns do equal less crime. And that's just the reality of it. So, good luck. Finally, let's talk about what has passed so far. Quite a lot of laws. Yeah. There's a lot here. HB 1 has passed. That increases the minimum wage to $13.50 per hour. Effective January 1st, 2025. So it'd be all the way next year, but that's not too far away. $13.50. Right. Currently it's $12. I mean, this is going to, this will do stuff. This will cause problems. The free market should determine. I get that you need to have a minimum to an extent. The goal was 15. They wanted 15 an hour. Somebody wanted something crazy, like 30 or 40, something stupid. I don't know. But so that one passed. And it hasn't been, none of these have been signed by the governor. That's just passed, currently passed. As far as I know, you know, the governor's still looking over these. The assault firearm and certain ammunition one I've talked about, HB2, that one passed. Now, when I say HB, it means House bill. There could be a Senate bill that is also passed. But what happens is during crossover is it goes from the House bill. The Senate looks at it and goes, yeah, okay, thumbs up. And then it becomes that's the bill that passed. Sometimes you'll see SB. But for the most part, you know, we're looking at House bills. The plastic bag tax distribution to towns. Let's see. I don't remember what this one is. Provides that any town located within the county that has imposed a disposable plastic bag tax shall receive a distribution of revenues collected by the county based on local sales tax distribution formula to appropriations to towns. Oh my gosh, this sounds confusing. Let's see. Oh, they passed a hate crimes one. Hate crimes and discrimination, ethnic animosity penalties. Provides that it is the policy of the Commonwealth to safeguard all individuals within the Commonwealth from unlawful discrimination in employment and in places of public accommodation because of such individuals' ethnic origin and prohibits such discrimination. The bill also adds victims who are intentionally selected because of their ethnic origin to the categories of victims who intentional selection for the hate crime involving assault and battery, or trespass for the purpose of damaging another's property, resulting in higher criminal penalty for the offense. So basically, if you assault somebody, let's say a black guy, and they can say, well, that was because if they can show or prove, quite often they'll do it anyway, but if they can show that you did it because he was black or because, you know, he was an Asian person or whatever, or, you know, you in that trespassing on the property would be, you know, putting a cross and lighting it on fire. That's like old school, you know, KKK stuff. I've never seen that. I mean, I've never even heard of that happening for I don't know how many, and certainly never in the years that I've lived here since 2008. So, anyway, the bill also provides that no provider or user of an interactive computer service on the internet shall be liable for any action voluntarily taken in good faith to restrict access to material that the provider or user considers to be intended to incite hatred on the basis of ethnic origin. I don't know what the purpose of that is. So anyway, hate crimes discrimination bill. Fine. You know, don't be a racist. I don't care. This is stupid. It's illegal to assault somebody. It's illegal to burn a cross on their lawn. That'd be like, call that arson. You could call that, you know, all kinds of things. So, you know, it's illegal to spray paint on someone's house. You know, if you don't like Jews and you're spray painting a swastika, well, you're an idiot. And two, you know, that's a crime. It's vandalism. So, I mean, these things are already illegal. Oh, a tax cut. Oh, my heart is stopping. What's going on? Establishes an annual retail sales and use holiday tax that takes place on the first weekend in August, beginning August 1st, 2025. During such weekend, state retail sales and use tax will not apply to certain school supplies, clothing and footwear, qualified products designed, designated as Energy Star or Water Sense, portable generators, or hurricane preparedness equipment. So it looks like an expansion of the one we already have, which is like for school stuff and different things. I'm fine with that. That's fine with me. You know, anytime you get a tax holiday, good. Anytime you're not having to pay tax. But HB 35, firearm safety device, expansion of definition. I think I've talked about those. Abuse and neglect of children, causing or enabling a child to gain possession of a firearm penalty, HB 36. That was that one that Nick Freitas talked about. I talked about, I think it was on episode 3 this year. Might have been episode 2. Dentists and personal hygienists added to the list of providers who are immune from civil liability. I didn't know that was a thing. Immune from civil. I don't think you should be immune from civil liability. A firearm transfer to another person from a prohibited person. I think this might be the one that actually is a good bill. Firearm transfer to another person from a prohibited person provides that a person who is prohibited from possessing a firearm because such person is subject to a protective order or has been convicted of assault and battery, blah, 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 may transfer this to another person who's not like in their house. So this is actually a good bill. This protects the person's rights while this is all being sorted out. Because right now, it's not that way. You're just like, oh, tough luck. You're going to take your guns. HB 149, Employee Protections Medical Use of Cannabis Oil. Employee Protections Medical Use of Cannabis Product amends a provision that prohibits an employer from discriminating against an employee for such lawful use of cannabis products pursuant to a valid written certification issued by a practitioner for the treatment or to eliminate symptoms of the employee's diagnosed condition or disease, with certain exceptions that specific that use of such conforms to the law of the Commonwealth, blah, blah, blah. So basically, you can't sell somebody that works for you because the state has said you can't, that they can't use that product, which is ridiculous. You as an employer have every right to determine what people that might, you know, alter them. And frankly, we just don't know. We don't know. And so this is dumb that you're going to tell an employer they can't. Well, you can't, you know, I have a doctor's note. So I have a doctor's note that says I can do coke or I can do meth. What? I mean, at what point, where do we carry this to? If you want to, you know, legalize, you know, I'm fairly libertarian on this topic. If you want to legalize drugs, then go for it. But I, as an employer, have the right to be discriminatory and say, I'm not going to hire you if you're going to be a pot smoking idiot. I want smelly, disgusting people. And I realize this is cannabis oil. It's a little different, but come on. Jury service, HB 156 jury service increases from 70 to 73, the age at which a person is exempt from service. You know why? Because they can't get people to serve on jury duty, which I think is a shame. People don't appreciate that you are the final arbiter of a man's freedom and liberty as a juror. And I think it's very important. If I ever get called for jury duty, I'm very excited. I'm like, oh, good. You know, it always usually, you know, ends up getting canceled or they end up not needing me and then I'm good and I'm excused for a while. It's kind of a shame. I wouldn't mind serving on a jury, but they always seems to not work out. All right. Finally, there's a whole bunch more bills I'm not going to talk about anymore because it just keeps on going. HB 187, teachers process and timeline for increased salary. Basically, to summarize, average teachers, the Commonwealth share of compensation supplemental incentives for standards of quality, funded instructional and support positions sufficient to increase the average teacher salary in the Commonwealth to at least the national average teacher salary by the end of 26 to 28 biennium, and establishes detailed timeline and process for satisfying such requirements. The issue I have with this bill is it says national average teacher salary. You can't compare what it costs to live in Virginia to what it costs in New York, and those things are factored in, and what it costs to live in Massachusetts or parts of Florida or whatever. And they take in all of these high places where it, you know, costs a lot to live, and they factor that in. I'm sorry, teachers, and if you're a teacher, you're just going to make you mad. Teachers are overpaid. You work 9 months of the year, and everything I've ever looked at, and we're not talking teachers' aides, I'm talking teachers. Two things. You got way too much school and requirements to get into teaching. That's ridiculous. Just this barrier of entry. And then on top of that, you know, you've got, you get your 9 months, you get all this vacation in the middle of the year, you know, it's all these things. And then you're making anywhere from, you know, for a 9 month job, you're making usually around $30,000 to $40,000, everything that I've ever seen, sometimes more. Well, you project that out for the 3 months that you don't have to work, and you're making $50,000, $60,000. So, no, sorry. No, give me a break. But not like it matters. This will probably pass because it's for the children. It's for the teachers. So, let's go back to HB2. Let's talk about who... let's find out who voted for this thing. This is the assault firearms bill that I've talked about. That's terrible. This is not going to get signed by the governor. I'd be very surprised. Party line vote passed out of the committees. Let's look for pass the House. Party line vote. Every Democrat voted yes. Every Republican voted no. And in the Senate, party line vote. Every Democrat voted yes. Every Republican voted no. Well, this bill is an exact example of government run amok. And, you know, everything we don't want our politicians doing, which is taking our liberty and trying to take our liberty. So, you know, when I say bringing you, the Patriots, the information you need to stay in the fight to preserve your liberty and that we're behind enemy lines, yeah, we are. So think about that. Next week, I'm going to talk about communists and giving them no quarter. So that should be a good one. You should like that. I'm trying to flesh out the idea there. Write that up. But remember, you were not made to fit in. You were born to stand out. I'm Hank Reardon. This is Radio Free Virginia. God bless you.